Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. At the top of this week's chapel bulletin is a theme verse. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces more grain. That one grain of wheat, which would fall to the ground as a single seed and die, was Jesus Christ, who bore all of our sins and transgressions on the cross and was literally buried with them in a tomb. But from that one dead, buried seed, there is produced much more grain. All believers of all time in him by his resurrection. And it is here that we see the true mathematical formula for evangelism. One minus one times many equals many. Or we might say, that's grace multiplied. The miraculous reality, to reflect again upon this Lent, is that only through trials and death is there true success and life. When Christ suffered and died on the cross, it appeared to many that all was lost. But since he was raised again on Easter, not only was he raised, but so were all who would believe in him. St. Paul's words today similarly remind us that God still uses this mathematical formula to multiply or to extend his grace. One minus one times many equals many. In fact, just as through the death of Christ, new life sprung for us, so now through your own sufferings and death, especially those of you who are called to bring the good news of Christ, through your death, new life multiplies to others. And that is precisely the theology of the cross. St. Paul clearly states in many places, and even here, that ministry is not easy. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Perhaps that's the painful point we would like to forget. That is, to live in service to Christ means that you are called to die. As St. Paul says in Philippians, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Dr. Weinrich's illustration earlier this week is quite true. During Lent, we meander all around, but it is only on Good Friday that we actually find Christ. Well, additionally, it's only on Good Friday that we also find the end of our ministry and calling. On the cross, we not only see Christ, but we see ourselves. In fact, it is at the lowest ebbs and valleys of ministry that we are most closely acquainted with Christ's work in us. For example, the ministry of St. Paul was very fruitful. But look and see how he suffered physically. Can you imagine having your body literally pounded with stones? As Paul was at Lystra, he was presumed to be dead and taken out of the city. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Notice also how Paul was criticized for not being the most eloquent of speakers or exuberant of leaders. In Corinth, the people even questioned Paul's apostleship, even though he was the one who had humbly brought the good news to them. They were now ready to kill the messenger. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Some commentators, using the Genesis 3:15 analogy, speak of Christians suffering today as Satan still striking out at the heel, which is crushing his head. Although Satan is ultimately defeated by Christ, Satan still makes us suffer now, shooting his poison at us, biting into our heels with all his strength, stabbing and smiting us with death and hell in order to hurt us deep in our hearts. And in this time now for us, the time between Christ's ascension and his coming again in glory and the consummation of all things, we actually participate in Christ's sufferings. As St. Paul says in Colossians, I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. By nature, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to die. We'd rather follow the path of least resistance. We don't want to struggle with all the time and effort and study it takes to prepare to be a pastor. And we don't want to suffer in the ministry either. Instead, we might expect God to reward us, especially as fourth-year candidates waiting for a call in about 41 days. For all our hard efforts at the seminary, we expect a plush ministry with all the fringes. We not only want to live in a beautiful place with a great salary, but in the midst of people where everyone likes us, where everyone gets along with one another, and where there is complete harmony in doctrine and practice. Oh, also a place where we work from 9 to 5 with all your weeknights free. Oh, we are the devil's victims, aren't we? Ministry, as Paul reminds us, however, does not work that way. Instead, you live by dying many times. You die when a live-in couple leaves the church because you confronted them in the best way you thought possible as a pastor with the reality of sin. You die when some people just do not wish to get acquainted with you because they didn't get along with the last couple of pastors either. You die when you're judged as being too narrow-minded and people secretly rally to get you out. You die when a member of your church staff refuses to repent of immorality and is willing to divide other staff on the issue. You die when church members vent their frustrations at you, on your wife and children. Yes, you die. You will die many times in ministry. But through your patient suffering, seeds of new life are planted, and grace is actually multiplied to others. St. Paul truly treasured the ministry, even though he suffered much for it, because he knew the salvation that lay ahead. He also realized that it far outweighed his present sufferings. As he states just a couple verses beyond our text, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Empowered by God's grace, Paul did suffer, but through it God multiplied grace to others. the longer you are in ministry, the more you realize how fragile and how small you really are. Paul calls ministers in this chapter jars of clay. Yet in spite of our weak, temporal, and clay-like nature, we bear a strong, eternal, more precious than gold treasure. We have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the gospel of Christ. Luther states it this way: our hands and tongues are indeed perishable and mortal things, but through these means, through these perishable and earthen vessels, the Son of God wants to exhibit power. What gives you power to proclaim Christ then in the midst of death, yes, even your own death, is the fact that the message is not your own. The ministry is not about you, and it's not about me. The business of a preacher is never to draw attention to himself, but to Christ. And the preacher, in the midst of his own suffering, draws strength from Christ as well, knowing that the troubles we face now are light and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory waiting to be revealed. Yes, as the Gradual of Lent states, O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There is definitely a note of optimism in the suffering of the Christian pastor. The fiercer our sufferings are, the greater and more wonderful are the things that are multiplied in the saints. It is proof of God's grace and God's goodwill when the cross and afflictions discipline us. And though we live in the midst of a troubled world, our focus is not on what we see or even what we feel. And while we may actually face all sorts of suffering and loss, we are certain that through them, spiritual comfort and gain is received by others. As you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, may you always be optimistic about the future. For you know and you believe what the bottom line is: eternal life in Christ. And one of the greatest joys you will have someday as a pastor is being placed next to your hearers before God's throne in life everlasting. That's grace multiplied. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.